This morning, as we again continue to consider the new year and thinking about newness and renewal and thinking about the way that God brings newness into our lives and the part that we play in that. Let's start this morning in Romans chapter 12. In Romans chapter 12, Paul is writing here. And he says in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, he says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." Here it talks about the responsibility that we have of renewing our minds. Rather than conforming to the way of the world, rather than conforming to the things that the world lays out, being transformed, being changed, going away from that by the renewing of our minds. Now, how do we renew our minds? How are our minds renewed? With Jesus Christ, it happens in a couple of ways. First, it happens as we accept Him and confess Him as Lord of our lives. We talked about that new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. And so there's a transformation that begins in our minds at the time that we accept Jesus Christ. But it's a transformation that we are also somewhat responsible for as well. You can go to college. Right? You can go to college. And college is a place where one of the places where you're able to learn some things, correct? I'm not trying to pull the wool over your eyes here. College is some people maybe not aren't big fans of college, but college is one of the places in which we can learn things. You can go to college. You can sign up for them and be accepted and pay all the money, and you can go to college. That's something that you're able to do. Can you, though, simply by going to college, are you automatically forced into learning things? Does that just happen automatically? Right? You pay all the money, it must just occur, right? There's a responsibility that if indeed we're going to college, there's a responsibility that we have. The same is true of many things. I've purchased new parts for my car before. I paid the money, I got the part, there it is. It didn't do anything until I put some work into it, right? Isn't that right? You see, there's a responsibility in that we have. It's not something that automatically occurs and there's nothing more that we have to do. There's a responsibility that we have. Here, when it talks about us renewing our minds, that takes us being purposeful in continuing to change our mind. That word renewing, it's an idea of restoring or rebuilding. It's an idea of restoring or rebuilding. As we renew our minds, we're purposeful in seeking the Lord and His ways. We're purposeful in reading His Word. We're purposeful in growing and changing. And so when it says that we are to renew our minds, a part of that occurs as we change our minds and accept Jesus Christ as our Lord. A part of that new creation begins, but you and I are responsible for building that. You and I are responsible for that. This book has a lot of great stuff in it. Right? The Bible has a lot of great stuff in it. You can go to the Christian bookstore and pick up a Bible. You can spend a whole lot of money on some of these Bibles. Right? But you having it and owning it and paying all the money doesn't do any kind of good for you if it stays like this. Or if it stays even in the outer packaging. I don't want it to get dusty. See, if it stays in the outer packaging, it doesn't do any good. It doesn't change you or bring about any kind of renewal or restoration until you take the effort of opening it and reading it. Until you take the effort of being purposeful in you renewing your minds. Buying that Bible is the first step. Grabbing a Bible from under the chair in front of you is the first step. But until you open it, until you are effortful in renewing your mind, no longer conforming to what the world has, but being transformed by the renewing of your mind, until you're purposeful in that, that renewal doesn't occur. That renewal doesn't happen. It takes purpose on your part. It takes purpose and effort on your part. It takes purpose and effort to come to worship on Sunday mornings. Right? It takes purpose and effort to come to Sunday mornings, to worship on Sunday mornings. If it didn't, everybody be at worship every single Sunday morning. It takes purpose and effort. We are responsible for the renewing of our minds. It takes action on our part. It takes action on our part. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3. In Colossians chapter 3, Paul, who wrote Romans, also writes Colossians. And he says in Colossians chapter 3, verses 9 and 10, he says, "Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator." You see, so here's that idea of putting off the old self when we come to faith in Jesus Christ. Putting off the old self and putting on the new self. But we have a responsibility in that. We have a responsibility first with that initial step to indeed accept Jesus Christ as our Lord. And that's a big step. And that's a big transformation and a big renewal, isn't it? When we make that step from living by our own desires and our own ways to committing to living by the ways now of God and His Son, Jesus Christ. That's a major renewal. That's a major restoration and a major rebuild. But for those who maybe have been believers for a long time, we don't get to say, well, I already did that years ago. I already was renewed, and I already was rebuilt, and I already was restored, because that occurred when I accepted Jesus as my Lord X number of years ago. We're not able to say, that happened, therefore I don't have to do anything now, because everything has been taken care of. We have a responsibility to continue that renewal process. Amen? We have a responsibility to continue that which was started, which we couldn't do by ourselves. We needed Jesus Christ. Don't get me wrong. We needed Him. We have to have Him. Our lives are nothing without Jesus Christ. But we also have the responsibility of continuing that change and being purposeful in bringing about that renewal. It doesn't happen by ourselves. It can only occur with Jesus Christ. We can try, I'm going down a little bit of a sidetrack, we can try all that we want to bring about renewal in our lives, but if Jesus Christ is not at the center of it, we will fail every time. So in talking about our responsibility in renewal, it's not to the point of excluding Jesus Christ, because we can't do it by ourselves. I've tried to do loads of things in my life without Jesus Christ. It does not work. It does not work. That renewal occurs as we're purposeful in Jesus Christ. As we're purposeful in learning, in growing, in studying. As we're purposeful in being rebuilt by Jesus Christ. As we put an effort into that. And instead of sitting back on our laurels, I don't know what those are, but instead of sitting back on our laurels, being purposeful and effortful to move forward and to be involved in that renewal and to be purposeful in that renewal and that restoration and that rebuilding. The beauty part is God has great things in store for us. That's the great part. God has great things in store for us. Go to the Old Testament, the book of Proverbs, chapter 2. In Proverbs chapter 2, we're going to start right in verse 1. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1. It says, "My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, and if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure." Notice these first four verses. These first four verses begin with this word, if. If you will do this. If you will do this. Verse 5 then has the then. But the if means that we have a responsibility. If we do this, then there will be an outcome. And notice what that if is. If we will put our hearts and our minds to this as if we're searching for a great treasure. And it talks about accepting the words of the Lord, storing up his commands within us, turning our ears to wisdom and applying our hearts to understanding. It talks about us building and growing our relationship with God, again, on purpose, listening to his commands and his leading and his direction, hearing God's wisdom and his knowledge and his understanding. And if we do that, if we're purposeful and being involved in that renewal in our lives, then, let's look at verse 5, "Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He holds victory in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless. For he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful one." So as we are purposeful in seeking the wisdom and the ways of the Lord, as we're purposeful in seeking the things that he has for us and the things that he wants for us, as we're purposeful in that, then we're going to gain understanding of God and the fear of the Lord. We're going to gain that understanding not only of who he is, but a wisdom and an understanding that leads us to be followers of him and leads us to follow him. God has greatness in store for us. It says he has victory in store for us. He has victory in store for us. Who likes to be victorious? And I don't mean, who likes to be victorious in things like card games or Monopoly? Who likes to be victory in those things? Amen. A lot of excited hands there. We're not talking about victory in things like that. We're talking about victory in life. We're talking about victory and being victorious in the stuff that we deal with every single day. God has victory in store for us as we are purposeful in renewing our minds and our hearts toward him and our relationship with him. Isn't that exciting? That is good news. You guys deal with stuff? One? Bruce, you're the only one, man. You're the only one. This one's for you, then. This one's for you. We deal with stuff in life, don't we? We deal with it. You know, we face things that we don't expect on too regular a basis. And we face things in our lives that sometimes we feel like, boy, I just don't know that I'm prepared for this. As we face that stuff, God has in store for us victory. Victory he has in store for us. To make our paths straight and make our ways narrow for him, he has victory in store for us. Praise the Lord. Now, that comes, that follows the then. Our part is the if. If you will follow the Lord's commands, if you'll seek his decrees and seek wisdom from him, if you seek your relationship with God and build that and be purposeful in renewing your commitment to him, if you're purposeful in building that relationship with him, then he has in store for you knowledge and wisdom and the fear of the Lord and victory and straight paths. He has those things in store for you as you're purposeful in building your relationship with him. As you're purposeful in, again, through the strength of Christ, building that relationship and continuing to renew your mind, continuing to change your heart, continuing to not conform to the world's way, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, to become more and more like Jesus Christ in all ways and to be able to know God's will in everything. Praise the Lord. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 4, probably just over a couple of pages for you. Proverbs chapter 4. Now we receive here, again, some words from Solomon. And Solomon talks, it seems, about his relationship with his father, David. He talks about being a son and learning from his father. But ultimately, David had learned from God himself. And so this certainly is able to be applied to our relationships with God and finding direction from him through this passage. It says in Proverbs chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, "Listen, my sons, to a father's instruction. Pay attention and gain understanding. I give you sound learning, so do not forsake my teachings. When I was a boy in my father's house, still tender and an only child of my mother, he taught me and said, 'Lay hold of my words with all your heart. Keep my commands and you will live. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Do not forget my words or swerve from them. Do not forsake wisdom and she will protect you. Love her and she will watch over you. Wisdom is supreme, therefore get wisdom. Though it cost all you have, get understanding. Esteem her and she will exalt you. Embrace her and she will honor you. She will set a garland of grace on your head and present you with a crown of splendor. Listen, my son, accept what I say, and the years of your life will be many. I guide you in the way of my wisdom and lead you along straight paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hampered. When you run, you will not stumble.'" See, as we commit ourselves to the wisdom of God, as we seek it as fine treasure and seek it with all that we have, then God tells us that he will make our ways straight. He will make our paths straight. And when we walk, we won't be hampered. In other words, when we deal with the stuff of life, we're able to have victory in that stuff. It doesn't say there isn't going to be difficulty. But as we face difficulty, God is going to give us the strength that we need to be able to make it through. God is going to give us the strength that we need to face everything that we face and be victorious in Jesus Christ. I've shared Isaiah chapter 40 a couple of different times this week and laughed a little bit. Melinda and I hadn't talked about that verse, but she read it almost to start the service this morning. Let's read it to finish the service this morning as well. Isaiah chapter 40, starting in verse 28. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28. It says, "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." The interesting thing about the strength that comes from God is God gives us enough strength to be able to deal with right now. He gives us enough strength to be able to deal with right now. He's not like a battery charger that you plug it in and it charges the battery to full capacity to be able to run and run and run for multiple hours. He gives the strength for right now. He doesn't give you enough strength today for you to be strengthened today and tomorrow and the next day. So over the next 3 days, you can kind of disregard him because you've already received enough strength for him, from him. Right? That's not the way God works. He doesn't give you the strength today so that you're strengthened for all week so you don't have to consider God again until next week. Right? That's not the way that he works. But he gives you enough strength to be able to deal with right now. Amen? He always, in every circumstance, gives you enough strength to be able to deal with right now, no matter what right now looks like. He gives you the strength to be able to deal with right now. And when right now is past, he'll give you enough strength to deal with that right now. Amen? He gives you the strength that you need now. He doesn't fill you to the point that you have enough strength to be able to go a few days or through a whole bunch of stuff. That way you don't have to regard him because you're busy with all the stuff you're dealing with. He gives you enough strength for right now, always, every time, as you trust in Him. Every time He gives you the strength to make it through everything you face. And He has enough strength to be able to help you through everything you're going to face this coming year. He has enough strength to help you with all that. But He's not going to give you all that strength right now. Because He desires you. And He desires you to trust in Him and hope in Him in all things. Leaning not on your own understanding, leaning not on your own strength, but trusting only in Him. And as He then gives you the strength to make it through, you're able to praise God and say, God, You've been there again for me. And so I know that my job, my responsibility, is to put my trust in You in everything. To put my hope in You. And so, God, I'm not going to pray today that You would give me everything I need right now for 2010. But rather, I'm going to commit, God, in everything, I'm going to commit everything to You in 2010. I'm going to seek You for my strength for everything that I face throughout 2010. At the time that it comes, I'm going to have my hope and my trust in You in all things. Amen? Weak. Amen? Hopefully that is a commitment that we are able to make. A commitment in which we are saying to God, God, I renew myself to You in all things. I renew my mind to be that of Your mind. I renew and commit myself to put my hope and my trust in You in everything that I'm going to face this year. Relying on You through it all. Relying on Your strength. And the good news is, as we do that, God has in store for us victory. He has in store for us strength. He has in store for us right paths for us to be able to follow. Our God is a faithful God in all things. He is a faithful God, and we can trust Him. And we can put our hope in Him. I'd encourage you to do that then. In all things. Make the commitment now that in all things your hope and your trust will be in the Lord. Let's go to Him now in prayer. Faithful, faithful God, we come to You this morning giving ourselves to You and renewing ourselves before You, committing our hearts to You in all things, that we will seek You and Your ways, Your wisdom, Your understanding. We will seek it with all of our hearts. Father, we proclaim that You are a faithful God, that You will strengthen us with all that we need as we put our hope and our trust in You. Father, we need help with that, and we can't do it on our own. We recognize that full well. Again, we thank You for Your Son, Jesus Christ. We're thankful that through Him we can be empowered and strengthened. Father, it's in His name that we pray. Amen.